I have the, I always chant the Sri Sukhtam.
You always chant what?
It's one of the chants I do in the morning. I've always done Sri Sukhtam. I used to do the whole Rudra, but now I just do the Namaste as to Bhagavan Vishveshwara, because Rudra takes quite a while. But the thing is with Sri Sukhtam, it's so protective, such a protective chant. And also, it's beautiful. You know, it rings. The way the sounds go, it has this harmonics in it. You'll see as you start to learn how to chant it, what a beautiful chant it is. So.
It also is very feminine.
It has very feminine sounds. So beautiful. It's beautiful. And we need Lakshmi. We need Lakshmi's help. The world needs Lakshmi's help. That evoking that softness. The mother in Ishwara. Mm. You know? Okay, so last week we did number 46, Apramaya. We didn't do, did we do Hrishikesha? No, okay. So we're going to be on number 47 now. Hrishikesha. In my book, if you're using the book, it's on page 115. Who else has a page number?
136.
Or 136.
Well, you have a very different book.
They're all different. I think there's even three. Looks like there's three versions. That's just to complicate matters just a little tiny bit. Okay. You ready?
Yes.
So repeat after me. Vishnu Sahasranama, the 47th Nama. Hrishikeshaha.
Hrishikeshaha.
Hrishikeshaha. Rishika can mean the sense organ. So as Swamiji just gives one translation, there's more in the commentary. Isha means the Lord, like Ishwara, Isha. So Rishika, Ishaha, the Lord of the sense organs. Okay, so that's the first and one of the most common meanings. So let's look at the commentary. Rishikani.
Rishikani.
Indriyani.
Indriyani.
Tesham, Ishaha.
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 Kshetragnya,
Rupa,
Bhak.
Bhak.
Okay. So, just to start really understanding the style of the commentaries, he takes, first of all, you see Hrishikeshaha, he's going to break it, Hrishikani. So now we know that Hrishika is Hrishikani, is going to be in the, actually in this case it's in the nominative plural, and it means Indriyani. Mm. So he's giving the synonym, the definition. You need to have the notes. Oh, you got it, okay. Because otherwise it's in Sanskrit script only, yeah. So Hrishikani means Indriyani, the sense organs, okay. Tesham, for him, accusative plural, for them. Isha, so he takes Hrishikani and now defines it as Indriyani, the sense organs, and Tesham, he puts it in the genitive plural. So Tesham Ishaha, the Lord of them. So Hrishikani means Indriyani, the sense organs, and then you have to, in breaking the compound, Hrishikeshaha, you take Indriyani and put it in the genitive plural, of them, Ishaha, the Lord. So what do they mean by the Ishaha of the sense organs, the Lord of the sense organs? He says, Kshetrajna Rupaha Rupa Bhak. The one who is the Bhak, the enjoyer, means the experiencer. The one who enjoys Rupa in the form of, or as in English we might say, but in the form of the Kshetrajna. Remember Kshetrajna? Right in the 13th chapter of the Gita, the kshetra is the field. Anything that is experienced, the kshetrajna is the knower of the field. So, as the conscious, as the indwelling conscious being, the one, the consciousness because of whom the field is known, so that's the kshetrajna. So, He's the Lord of the sense organs. How? Because being the one who is the enjoyer in the form of the Kshetrajna. Everybody see? Mm-hmm. Kshetrajna means knower of the field. So in chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita, we divide the experience up into the Kshetrajna and the Kshetra. And in the end, the Kshetrajna is just pure consciousness. But from the standpoint of the Upadi, or from the standpoint of the Kshetra, the one that is the knower of the field, the experiencer of the field, the Bach, the one who is the enjoyer of the field, is the Kshetrajna. Because what is inert can't enjoy or experience anything. Right. Everybody see?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the how Swamiji takes it when he, in his translation, and in his first definition, Hrishikeshaha, means the Lord of the senses. Yedva, or another meaning, Yed Indriyani Yesya, Indriyani, the sense organs, for whom Yesh Vashe, under the sense organs, but the Indriyani Yesya, you have to repeat this. Yedva,
Yedva,
Indriyani,
Indriyani,
Yesya Vashe,
Yesya Vashe,
Vartante,
Vartante,
Sa, Paramatma,
Paramatma,
Rishikeshaha,
Rishikeshaha.
So he says, or this, the sense organs, Vartante, are. It's just another word for are, or remain. Remember, we've got bu, us, and vrit. The vrit means, all of them mean to be. The us means to be, to exist. Bu means to be or to become. Vrit means to be or to remain. This is just a little differences that can also just mean is. Okay, so here you can say, or the indriyas, vartante, remain or are under the control, vashe, in the control of whom? He, Saha, he is the Paramatma, the Supreme Self, the Paramatma, the inmost conscious being, who is Hrishikeshaha. So in this case, that is the Paramatma, that Supreme Self, conscious being, under whose control the indriyas are, that is Hrishikeshaha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the Paramatma, the conscious being, under whose control the sense organs are, that is Hrishikeshaha. Because the idea is this, the sense organs and the mind are completely inert. Without consciousness, there's no, they're nothing. So because of consciousness, the sense organs function. And so as the consciousness that runs as an anubhuti through all of the creation, and through all of the sense organs and through the antakarna, that paramatma, in reference to the sense organs, is called Hrishikeshaha.
You know, usually you don't take the body and the mind to be inert. Usually you see them as conscious entities.
Well, there is nothing, just a word on that. There really is nothing that is inert. There is only, because Advaita, there's only consciousness, right? But within the Maya Upadi, within this manifest creation, there are things like the table that don't reflect consciousness or enjoy consciousness from their own right, like this chair, this table, this rug. In terms of what they are in essence, what their essential nature is, just like the waves, the essential nature of the waves is only water, and the essential nature of the ocean is only water, right? The essential nature of all of these things is only consciousness, right? There is nothing that is inert, because for something to be really inert, it has to have a separate being apart from Satchitananda, conscious being. And so in reality, there is only here consciousness. But then in the Maya, which is mitya, which totally depends for its being on consciousness, we can analyze everything within this creation as being conscious or insentient. Okay? Conscious or insentient. Then even we can go further. Like, for instance, I would be a conscious being. This would be insentient. I'm sentient. This is insentient. We can start with that analysis within Maya. But once we do the Drik Drisha Viveka, the seer-seen differentiation, what we had taken to be sentient in its own right actually becomes really not that different than the table, because it is objectified. You know, there's a subject-object relationship, and everything that I experience, including the mind, the body, the sense organs, and the and the mind, all of those have for their essential nature consciousness, but so does the table. Yeah. The difference is that the sukshma sharira, which is also inert from its own standpoint, reflects consciousness, and the table doesn't. Mm-hmm. Right? And so my experience as a jiva is that I am a conscious being, because this body, mind, sense organs enjoy consciousness. But upon analysis, right, the body, the mind, the sense organs, the thoughts, the moods, the emotions, even the ahankara, everything is objectifiable, right? And so from its own right, it is known. It enjoys, the consciousness it enjoys is the consciousness of the Paramatma, right? Yeah. And so when we're making, initially in teaching, trying to differentiate the Atma from what comes and goes, what can be perceived, we can use a word like inert. That which, and by inert, jada, it means that from its own, in its own right, it doesn't independently enjoy consciousness. In its own right. It's mitya. That means the consciousness it enjoys doesn't belong to it. Like the consciousness like the clay that the pot enjoys belongs to the clay, right? Not to the pot. The pot is mitya. It depends upon the clay for its being. That's a satya-mitya relationship. So when you're first differentiating here, we're doing a drisha differentiation, and what I perceive, anything that I can perceive, anything that comes and goes in consciousness, doesn't enjoy consciousness in its own right. It's nothing, because it's mitya, it's nothing but consciousness, mm-hmm. but from its own standpoint, the consciousness is not dependent upon it. It is dependent upon consciousness. And so then we use words, this kind of words like jada. Okay. So, so the second definition of the indriyanis, the sense organs, they remain under whose control? That is the Paramatma, which we call Hrishikesha. It's another definition for Hrishikesha. Then there's another totally different definition. So repeat after me. Yasya va.
Yasya va.
Surya rupasya.
Surya rupasya.
Chandra rupasya.
Chandra rupasya.
Jagat priti kara.
Jagat priti kara.
So it'd be jagat priti karaha.
Rishtaha,
Keshaha,
Rashmiyaha,
Saha,
Hrishikeshaha.
Okay, so this is looking at the word Hrishi, right? It's looking at the word Kesha. First, I'll take Kesha just to tell you. It's looking at the word Kesha. To mean, another meaning of Kesha is rays, like the rays of the sun or the rays of the moon. So rays. So that's another meaning of this word Kesha. The Hrishi comes from Hrishta. Hrishta means that which makes so happy, you know, elates or pleases. So here he says, yasya va, or for whom, asya, of whom, yasya, rupa, surya rupasya, another genitive, it's going to be defining the yasya, in the form of the sun, who, in the form of the surya, or chandra rupasya, or in the form of the moon. So, jagat priti karaha, it brings happiness, priti, it brings pleasure, love, happiness to the world. Jagat priti karaha hrishtaha. Hrishta means it elates, it makes very happy, hrishta. It makes joyful. So hrishtaha, what do they mean? Means it makes the world happy, right? It brings a smile to the face of the world. Jagat is world. What does? Keshaha.
Keshaha means what? Rishmayaha, the rays. Okay, so the Keshaha means Rishmayaha from Rishmi, Rishmayaha. So the rays which bring joy to the world, what rays? Whose rays in the form of the sun and in the form of the moon? So whose rays delight? They make happy, Hrishta, they delight, they bring joy to the world. Okay. So here, Hrishtaha, what do you mean by they elate? What does it mean that it makes happy? How does it, what does it make happy? Priti Karaha. It is a maker of happiness, of joy, you know, to the world, for the world. Jagat Priti Karaha Hrishtaha, the rays. So Hrishikeshaha is the one whose rays, Yasya Keshaha Rashmayaha, the one whose rays, in the form of the sun, Surya Rupasya, Chandra Rupasya, or Hrishtaha means Jagat Priti Karaha. Those rays bring delight, bring
what
love and joy.
Rashmayaha?
Ray, from Rashmi, Rashmayaha.
Oh, same thing as Kesha, it's just a synonym.
Synonym, Keshaha means Rashmayaha, like Harihi, Harihi, Hariyaha. Rashmayaha means rays. The rays of what? Who in the form of the sun, Surya Rupasya, or Chandra Rupasya, in the sun, or in the form of the moon, delights. Brings delight to the world.
But Keshaha is rays as well.
Keshaha, so that's a totally different meaning, right? It's a totally different meaning. So if you say Hrishi here in Kesha, the rays, delight. Hrishi, Kesha, the one whose rays delight. Delight of the root rays, the Lord in the form of the sun, the rays, in whose rays of the sun, in the form of the sun and of the moon, delight the world.
But the sun and the moon are just being brought because of rays. There's no sun or moon.
Yeah, but the whole thing is Ishwara, right?
Do you sense it that way, these rays, the rays?
Think of it like this, that
yeah.
In this universe, manifest universe,
yes.
The warmth of the sun, the rays of the
yes.
sun can bring joy.
Yeah.
The rays of the moon, the cool rays of the moon can bring joy.
Yeah.
You know? So if you look at the whole Upadi as Ishwara,
yeah.
The one who's Hrishikeshaha, the one whose rays, you can say like this, the one whose rays, who's the Ananda, so if I want to do it like this, the one whose Ananda, right, delights the world. The one whose Ananda delights the world like the rays of the sun, like the rays of the sun and the rays of the moon. You can go like that too.
Yeah.
Is Kesha used also to mean hair sometimes?
Krishna.
Or is that a different,
yeah.
like Krishna?
Kesha is usually hair.
Rishi Keshaha, yeah. That's not being... It's probably not being said here because Kesha probably comes elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that's the case...
They don't want to use it up.
No, what they do, like every time you see Kesha coming through here, it's going to be used, it's going to be defined in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But Kesha also means here. But here it's Rishi Kesha. Rishika.
So while you were explaining, I was taking the sun and moon as being literal. So are you saying it's figurative and literal? Is that what?
Yeah, I think you can take it either way.
Ways.
Because you can look at the Ishwara Upadi and as Ishwara from the standpoint of the sun's a beautiful, how the sun's rays bring delight to the people, to the one whose rays. Or you can take it as Ananda. The one whose Ananda blesses the people, makes the people happy, just like the rays of the sun or the rays of the moon.
Thanks.
Yeah. Swamiji is just taking it from the standpoint of the Upadi, from the standpoint of the sun and the moon. I bless. So, but it's also all figurative, you know, because also the nature of the self is Ananda. And so as the Ananda, as it shines, it makes all beings happy. It blesses all beings. So.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do one more. At least one more. This isn't easy. Padmanabha.
Padmanabha.
The nabha is the navel. You know, so the one in whose navel is the lotus. So if you look at, repeat after me. Sarva Jagat Karanam.
Sarva Jagat Karanam.
Padmam.
Padmam.
Nabhau.
Nabhau.
Yasya Saha.
Yasya Saha.
Padmanabha.
Padmanabha.
This is the name for Ishwara comes frequently. Sarva Jagat, the entire world. Sarva is all. So if I say Sarva Jagat, the whole world. Karanam, Sarva Jagat Karanam, the cause for the entire world. Sarva Jagat Karanam. Padmam, the lotus. The lotus, the lotus in whose navel, the lotus in whose navel is the cause for the entire world. So the whole universe, which rests in Brahman, so the navel is really the Satchidananda Brahman, that lotus that rests in Brahman is really viewed as the Maya Upadhi, which then unfolds as the whole universe. It's also Padma, it's also the earth. So if you take that lotus which exists in the navel, and the navel is that which itself is changeless. Swamiji likens it to the nabi also as the spokes of the center point in a wheel, mm-hmm. how it doesn't move or change, but the wheel goes on rotating. Mm. So like that in the navel of which is Brahman, this lotus rests, and this lotus is what manifests, unfolds in the form of the whole universe. Which I think that's such a beautiful image, because then you think of the lotus is so beautiful, and if you think of it unfolding, this whole universe is like an infinite mandala in the form of a beautiful lotus. Mm-hmm. So from Ishwara's standpoint, it's a beautiful mandala. Of course, if you're inside of it, then there's all kinds of things going on. But if you think of the whole thing, you know, as the unfoldment of a lotus, it's just a beautiful, beautiful image.
What is Nabhau is locative, right?
Yeah, it's Nabhau is in the locative from Nabhi. Nabhi. Oh. Padmanabhi, Nabhau, locative singular, yesya. And so, Jagat, Sarva Jagat Karanam Padmam, the lotus which is the cause of the entire world, is in whose navel, right? He is Padmanabha, right? The lotus symbolizes the source of the entire universe, which source is his navel. Brahman, which is Satyam Jnanam Anantam, itself free from birth, is the nabi, the navel, that is the cause of the entire jagat. That's so beautiful. You should all be reading your book, you know? Read all of this that Swamiji has to say. So sweet. Let's do one more. Amara Prabhu.
Amara Prabhu.
Amara means free, without mara is death. So amara is free from death. So the Lord of those who are free from death. They're speaking relatively, that's all the devas. All of the devatas are free from death in that while they have their, while they're there in that loka, they don't die. They do have death when the world goes into a manifest condition, but relatively they don't grow old and they don't die like the martyrs, like the mortals do. So he says, Amaranam, repeat, Amaranam Prabhu.
Prabhu.
Amara Prabhu.
Amara Prabhu.
So Amaranam, for the Amaras, those who have no death, relatively speaking, Prabhu the Lord. So the one who's the Lord of the Amaras, of the Devas, Amara Prabhu. there's a term that, let's just look at Swamiji's little commentary and give you.
Can I ask a question before you? So Amara means freedom from death well as this, it means Devas?
Yes, yeah. Because the Devas are Amaras, they're free from death. Right. If I do the etymology of the word, mm-hmm. why would a Deva be called an Amara? Because the Mara means death. Means free from death. So it becomes like a name for the devas.
Okay, but it could be used in other places meaning freedom from death.
It could be. Yes, it could be. But if you say the Lord of the Amaras, the Lord of those who are, because genitive plural, okay. The Lord of those who are free from death, who are they talking about? The devatas. So here, just for you Sanskrit people, look at Swamiji's little paragraph here. The devas, who are citizens of heaven, mean all of the lokas, are called Amaras because they are marana rahita. Rahita, when it's at the end of a compound or associated in a compound, it means without,
mm-hmm.
without or free from. So this word rahita is very, very common. So marana means death.
Mm-hmm.
Another word, mara, marana. Marana rahita. They are, because they are free from death, they do not age. Swarga, the heaven mentioned in the Vedas, is a happy place where there are no core issues. Yeah. There is also music and dance.
That's not core.
Yeah. Lord Death does not enter there. This amaratva, now that twa affix, amara with the twa, makes it an abstract. Instead of being free of death, it's the state of being free from death.
Mm-hmm.
Like free from deathness. Right? The state of being, that's the twa affix. So amaratva. This amaratva, immortality for the devas, is only apekshika. This is the word I wanted everybody to see. Apekshika. Amaratvam. Apekshika means relative. It's a relative amaratva. It's a relative immortality. Not paramartika, not an absolute immortality, like is Brahman. For Brahman, there's no time. But for the devas, there's a relative apekshika. So apekshika, that's an important vocabulary word.
Mm.
It comes a lot. Apekshika maranatva, amaratva, relative immortality. See, he says, a relative immortality. The devas live there for a very long time. As he is the Lord of all, he is the Lord of the devas also. That's
so,
also important to understand with all the devas. All of the devas are part of the Ishwara, Ishwara Upadhi, right? So Bhagavan is the Lord of everything, including all of the devas.
And so what's a relative?
Relative means it's still time-bound, but it lasts for a really long time.
Seems,
compared to our mortality.
Seems like it's immortality,
yeah.
But in the end, not really.
Not really,
okay.
Yeah. In the end, because it does come to that sthana. That place, if you were to take a birth because of tremendous punya, or punya in a devaloka, one of these higher realms, it lasts for a long, long, long time. There's no aging, there's no growing old, there's no illness, all of these type of things. But that punya comes to an end. And so either at the end of the kalpa, when the universe goes into unmanifest condition, or maybe that for some of the lower, higher lokas, I think that actually the punya comes to an end and then there's just a disappearance and then you take a birth here. But it goes for so long, and if it's going clear to the end of the kalpa, means when the universe goes into unmanifest condition, it's a relative immortality. You don't experience death. Surprise!
It's
more, but
yeah,
no core issues.
It
goes on.
That's why it's good enough to have a memory sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a little break and we'll do a Vishnusas. I mean, we'll do Vedanta Sara.
Do we wait till we get to the end of a whole verse before we practice chanting these things? Is that what we've been doing in terms of?
There is something I wanted to do with this first.
We're
going to chant for a while.
What are you sorry about?
We're going to chant.
Chant before our break.
We're going to chant before our break.
I
have this. I already have it set up for chanting. We're going to chant from the beginning, including this verse that we're doing. Okay? There is. I promise you.
No problem.
I know, I do.
Well, we've missed it.
I know. Hi.
if we take longer, we won't be over so simple.
This is the
end. We have the mom.
Everybody ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's hit it.
Sorry. One second, please.
Take your time.
Edward, has an effect on us. Practice on your own. Okay, take a little tiny break and then...